Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Carry us home for a few moments here. What do you got this morning, sir?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Great good morning. Show. Thank
always.
You.
Hey, I want to make a comment about the flag burning, and it rolls back to patriotism and conservatism and republics and all that. So I'm a retired police officer, former Marine. My father was a Marine, served the country for 27 years. When he was in California, he was in charge of a ROTC unit, and one of his guys that worked from him was a gentleman by the name of Rick Monday. So he played for the Oakland Athletics at that time. Well, we'll fast forward to July 4th, 1976, 200th birthday of our country.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Monday was playing in the outfield for the Yankees, and a couple of Utes jumped in the center field and tried to burn the American flag.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Monday swept it up and ran through the field. I think this flag burning thing should be used by the right, make it a talking point.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe that patriotism in this country will lead us to a Trump win.
I would like to think so. Obviously, we know the challenges that Trump faces, from the haters to Roe v. Wade, but you're right. And, you know, you can say what you want. Joe Biden is still technically the president. But yesterday, what transpired outside of Union Station with the burning of the flag? I mean, Kamala Harris is the nominee. So in my opinion, that happens under her watch, as she's not even present in Washington, D.C. That should be an ad for the Trump campaign every single day moving forward. So, Tom, I agree with you completely. Thank you very much for the call. All right. Well, what do we got?
We are ready, guys.
All right. Here we go. Without further ado, let's get to Debate Morning in America. Greg Stocker, if you could, intro the music. Good morning, 1210 WPHT. I am Fake Tapper. I will be your moderator this morning in a historic first for the United States of America. Prior to Fox News, ABC News, or any other left-wing fake media outlet, you will hear your candidates this morning here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. As you can see on the left, the Republican nominee, the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And to the right, the current vice president of the United States, under the 46th administration of Joe Biden, your vice president and presumptive Democratic nominee, Vice President Kamala Harris. So here are the rules for this debate. We will not mute the mics because Joe Biden is not here, so we don't need to sanitize anything. This will be old school, a real battle. Please hold your applause till the end, Greg Stocker, Dawn Stensland. And we will have three different questions in which both contestants will have 60 seconds to answer. A fourth question dedicated directly to Madam Harris, and a fifth question to Mr. Trump. Those are all 60-second time banks. We will not adhere to that very strictly, because, as I said, I am Fake Tapper, and I am a total hack moderator. Closing remarks. Each individual will have 90 seconds, and it was determined during that 12-minute commercial break via coin toss that, Ms. Harris, you have won the coin toss, so you will have the first crack here at question number one. Ms. Harris, President Biden has been in noticeable cognitive decline for at least the last few years. How do you think this makes the country look on the world stage? You have 60 seconds.
Look, you know, I have some cognitive decline myself, right? And, you know, I just know that Joe's heart is in the right place, right? I mean, he's not as strong. He's not as fast. And, you know, he might have a, you know, he might have a slow start to the day. He goes to bed early and sleeps most of the afternoon. But other than that, you know, he's sharp as a tack. You know, and I just think that we have to give him a chance to really unburden what has been.
Thank you very much, Ms. Harris. Mr. President Donald Trump, President Biden has been in noticeable cognitive decline for at least the last few years. How do you think, Mr. Trump, this makes the country look on the world stage? You have 60 seconds as well.
Well, I have to say, fake strapper, I have to say you're doing an awful job already. Talking a lot. You're talking a lot, but I don't want to talk too much about that. You know, you have Kamala Harris, or Kamala, whatever the hell she calls herself. I call her something else, but we're not allowed to say it. Well, maybe we are allowed to say it. The original Hawk Tour girl. We'll talk about it. Maybe we'll say it. Maybe she's trying to run and be President Tour. We'll see what happens. But you see what's going on right now. You see what's going on. She's cackling and all crazy things are going on. We're looking at how do we think the country looks and how do we think the world looks and talks about our country. I think we look like a country that is having a hard time navigating a flight of stairs, usually an easy thing for some people, not an easy thing for that person. And she's known all about it. You know, Kamala's known all about it, and she hid it. She covered it up, and we're not sure why she did that, but she covered it up, and horrible things are happening to our country under her watch. She's the border czar. I was the greatest border czar when I had the presidency. We had a beautiful wall. We had people. They weren't coming in. She's the border czar. All the bad hombres are coming in, and they're hurting people. They're hurting our country. And I know, fake strapper, you don't like when I say this, but they're poisoning the lifeblood of our country, and we don't like that. We're going to fix it, believe me.
Ms. Harris, question number two. Inflation is hurting everyday Americans more and more each day. VP Harris, what are your plans on addressing this ongoing problem?
Well, you know, me and Joe, we're pretty much on the same agenda. Besides the fact that he just likes to eat ice cream and thinks that that's going to make everything okay, I do believe that we have to build back better, build back stronger, build back faster, right? I mean, because, you know, we're not going back. We're not going back to a decent time. We want total chaos and destruction, okay? I mean, that's why I left the border open, right? You know, you have to stand firm with the distractions, because clearly we've shown that we just want to build back. We want to build it better. We want to build it stronger. And, you know, like I said, we're not going to go back. We're going to continue to burden the people, all right? Because that's what we do. You know, that's what the Democratic Party does. We want to burden what has been. And, you know, I'm not really sure if you know, but we've had the strongest economy, the strongest. It's more bigly than Don's economy was, all right? I don't care what the numbers say.
Fake news.
Now, it's not fake. It's not fake news. It's not fake news because guess what I discovered? If you laugh about it, you know, it has to be true. Yeah, it's worked so far. So that's what I think. We need to build back stronger, better, faster. I don't have a plan for that, but that's what I want to do.
Enlightening stuff, Madam Harris. Thank you very much.
Question number two.
You are welcome. Mr. President Donald Trump, inflation is hurting everyday Americans more and more each day. What are your plans on addressing this ongoing problem?
Well, first, I just want to pay homage to the former candidate. Look, here's the deal, okay? I want to talk about this inflation. You know what happens when you have more money chasing the same number or less amount of goods. And so that's why I am promising to carry out the largest deportation operation in the history of our great country. And by largest, I mean we're going to deport Chris Christie because he's eating everything. He's eating everybody out of house and home, and there is less available on the market because he keeps eating it, or because he gets close and it gets stuck in his gravitational pull. It's going around and around like the moon goes around the earth, like some of these people. We call it, a lot of people call it the view. I call it the zoo. These people orbit each other on live television. The cattle, the livestock, these are terrible people. But we're going to carry out the largest deportation operation in the history of our great country. We're getting rid of Chris Christie. He's going to stop eating BP. He's going to stop eating everything, and he's going to make the market plentiful with goods again. It's going to drive prices down. We're going to have a lot more competition. So we're getting rid of Chris Christie and some of these other people, too. You look at it. Stacey Abrams, we call her the Beast of the Southeast. She's got the teeth. She's got the gap. It's like Harrison Butker. She could kick the field goal right through the teeth. We have the zoo. We have all of these horrible people, and we're going to get rid of them, and we're going to have a fair and free market again. She talks about building back bigly, building back strongly, building back fast. It's not going to happen. She says she has no plan. It's not going to happen, but I have a plan. We're going to make America great again, and we're going to do it very quick, very strong. We've done it before. We'll do it again, bigger and better and faster than ever. That much I can tell you.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Final question before we have one specifically for Madam Harris and one for Mr. Trump. Question number three, we will go back to the Vice President, Kamala Harris. Ms. Harris, both of you are often referred to in the media as being candidates who are non-white. VP Harris as a woman of color and former President Trump, a man of orange. How do you feel that this will impact the race, Ms. Harris?
Look, I'll tell you like this, all right? Really, depending on what the agenda is and what the topic is, that's the color that I am. You know, that's what diversity is all about. So let's say, you know, we're talking about, you know, the Black community, and I want to resonate with the Blacks. You know, I start talking like they not like us. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, things start to lighten up a little bit when I'm collecting donor money, right? Things start to really, really lighten. And, you know, when we're discussing the border and the lack of whether or not I've been there or not, you know, mi casa es su casa, right? And that, my friends, is diversity. Okay.
Wow. It's very enlightening.
I don't even need all right away.
Hang on. Madam Vice President, this is regular radio, ma'am. You can't curse.
Madam Harris, we will deduct 1 point from the scorecard.
That would never use that filthy language. Yeah, I have to say, excuse me. I would never use
that filthy
language.
It's okay when he does it. You know, I've heard him say bad words before.
I would never do that.
Yes, you would.
I would never do that.
Oh. I've heard you off camera.
Let's not act like children, okay?
That being said, Mr. Eric, Trump, final question.
You can take 2 points. I'm going to win because the fix is in. All right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. We do know that. Question number three, Mr. President. Both of you often referred to in the media as being candidates who are non-white. Vice President Harris, a woman of color. Mr. President, you are deemed to be the orange man bad. How do you feel that this will impact the race, sir?
What a stupid question. You know, you call me off. What a stupid question. You know, this is why they call you fake strapper, okay? Which means Pete Buttigieg is very interested. I can tell you that.
Oh, man.
You know, you look at this. They call me orange. No. I have a beautiful complexion. They call it gold. They call it bronze. Look at that. And you saw what Crooked Joe tried to do. He tried to copy me. He tried to come out looking like he dove headfirst into a bottle of Tang. We've talked about this before. He went straight into it.
Well, we actually left him on the White House lawn. That's not true. We left him on the lawn, and he got burnt to a crisp. All right.
This is not your turn. This is not your turn. This is not your turn. Okay. This is the big boy's turn now, not the other big boy.
And you spoke. I was speaking too.
You spoke Spanish. You said mi casa su casa. You said mi casa su casa. I speak Spanish too, better than anybody's ever spoken Spanish before. You know, we call them bad hombres. We also say Sleepy Jose caca en frente del Papa, which means Sleepy Joe pooped in front of the Pope, and you knew about it and said nothing about it. Okay, so you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I have a great complexion.
I wasn't the one that cleaned his diaper that day. So no, that
I have
true.
Beautiful hair, and I have beautiful, it's called a comb over. It's beautiful hair. They call it Amber Waves of Drain. I'm the best looking candidate the world has ever seen, believe me.
All right, done. Okay.
With that being said, Madam Vice President, this one is specifically for you, Mr. Trump. Please try to remain disciplined here. Donald Trump has repeatedly thank you for the interruption, sir. Donald Trump has repeatedly referred to people crossing the border as, quote, bad hombres. What are your plans to ease Americans' concerns about the border crisis?
You know, I'm going to tell you like this, Tapper, all right? We've been to the border, okay? We've been to the border. I haven't been to the border, but we've been to the border. All right. We've been to the border and we're going to go back to the border. And that's the plan. That's as far as I know. But we've been to the border. All right. We've been there. It's horrific. You know, but we've been there and I haven't been to a lot of places. All right. I haven't been to Baghdad. I haven't been to Europe. Yeah, I haven't been to many parts of South Asia. And I think that we need to prioritize foreign policy more than anything else, because we need to give people a chance to get in here illegally and take away everything that is rightful to the American citizen. We need to give these people a chance. All right, Don, you got to get on board. It's America.
The only border she's been to is a bookstore. It's called Borders, and that's why they closed. That's all I can say.
We've been to the border, John. We've been to the border. And the more I say it, the more I believe it. All right? We've been to the border. We've been to the border. And that's all I can say about that.
And this final question is specifically for former President Trump. Mr. President, in the past, Vice President Harris has expressed her love for Venn diagrams. As a former president,
among other things,
yes, as a former president yourself, do you believe this would be a useful attribute for a president to have?
Well, listen, I love Venn diagrams, too. OK, I love them more than anybody's ever loved them. I actually invented them. I knew who Venn was. I said, Venn, you need to make a diagram. It's a beautiful thing. And here's what we do. You know, we could make one for Kamala. We could talk about it. On the left-hand side of the Venn diagram, you could put the name Willie Brown. On the right-hand side, you put Montel Williams. Oh, and in the middle, you put Kamala Harris, because that's the one thing both of those guys have in common. I don't know who
he's
was
not
first.
Wrong.
Who got what's called sloppy. I'm not sure what's happening. But you see, that's the way she got the career started. And some people would say, I would never say this, by the way, just like I would never call Chris Christie a fat pig. But some people would say that's the way the career got started. That's the way everything happened all the way to the top. They say slept to the top overnight under the covers. But we will see what happens. I love Venn diagrams. I love them more than she does. And she loves them a lot. But the most accurate Venn diagram that I could think about is when you look at it, Montel Williams, Willie Brown, right in the middle. Kamala Harris. It's like a Kamala sandwich. She's the reason why they all they fight with each other. These are terrible people. But those are the Venn diagrams that I want to talk about. If it wasn't for that Venn diagram, she wouldn't be here talking in rhymes and laughing like nobody's ever seen. You know, we call her the hyena. She cackles like a hyena. She's like in The Lion King, the hyena. All she does is laugh. And she says it. The more she laughs, the more it sounds like it's true. But it's not true. It's fake. It's a disaster. It's a disgrace. And she's not going to do very well at the end of the day. That much I can tell you, because Montel and Willie Brown, both of them as, who said it? It was somebody on CNN. I think it was Don Lemon. They're both past their prime, and so is Kamala Harris, believe me.
A reminder that Aaron Burnett will follow us here on the debate and put you to sleep with post-debate analysis and a few words from our sponsors, including Pfizer and Moderna. Final closing remarks, Vice President Harris. You have 90 seconds to tell the American public why you should be the 47th president of the United States. The floor is yours, ma'am.
Me and Joe, you know, when we came into office, we had a vision. My vision is more about power. Like I, you know, like Donnie mentioned, you know, he's not wrong. That Venn diagram, you know, those nice gentlemen helped me, but I got here on my own. All right. I kicked all of those doors open. I kicked every single one open. And I want you to understand something, that burdening what has been is something that I feel so strongly about. And I want more diversity for this country. I don't want any borders. I want it to be, you know, a free-for-all for everyone. We need to just cancel police. We need to put our trust into the citizens of this country. Lawlessness, chaos. I mean, really, that's what this administration is about. And, you know, I want to bring that forth on, you know, on a global setting. And I really think that if I continue to push that it could be anyone, but it can't be done, then, you know, we really have a shot. Because at this point, no matter how unqualified I am, you know, that doesn't matter. We like to play on people's emotions and we like to lie, right? And I really, really feel strongly for this country. You know, I mean, we're destroying it now, but I don't care. I'm not going to be in office forever, right? You know, as long as it's not done, and that's what I'm going to continue campaigning, and hopefully the American people, you know, don't see right through me. And that's all I have to say. Continuing to unburden what has been.
Former President Trump, you have 90 seconds. Your vision for America and why you should be the 47th president of the United States.
Well, she says she likes to lie, which we know is the truth. That's the first time she's told the truth. She likes to lie. And she's lied with a lot of people. I can tell you that. A lot of people. And we've talked about it. We've made this comment a bunch of times. But we're clearly the best choice. You know, you see what happened. You had Crooked Joe. We talked about what he did at the Vatican, the Tootsie Rolls. He thought it was Halloween. It wasn't. But he left a trick-or-treat on the floor of the Vatican. You're not supposed to do that. You have the stairs. You have all of these terrible things that are happening. And she knew about it, and she lied about it. Like she said, she lied about it. And America doesn't need a liar. America needs a person like me. I'm a beautiful guy. I'm the most handsome guy. I taught Bryson DeChambeau how to golf. We just did a podcast together. I named Tiger Woods. I kept King Tut. You know, he was going to be King Tut. He's King Tut.
Oh, man.
We call him King Tut. We have a King Tut. His name is Crooked Joe. We have a Prince Tut as well. His name is Eric Swalwell. Farted on live television. Everybody remembers that. But we have a horrible administration. They have run this country into the ground, and we're going to make it great again like nobody's ever seen before. Nobody's ever seen anything like what we're about to do. But we can't let this person in. We can't have a hyena as president. We can't have Hawk Tua as president.
Oh,
we can't do that. This is not what we want to do. What we want to do is we want to make America great again. We want to make America strong again. And we want to make America decent again. She used horrible language. I would never use those words. I would never do that. I don't do that. I don't believe in doing that. But we are doing a tremendous job. We're leading in the polls by a lot. And we are doing a fantastic job. I'm going to be the guy who reduces inflation, secures our border, ends the wars across the world, and returns decency to the White House, if you could believe that, because I'm telling you, that's what we're going to do. So we're going to vote Trump. We're going to vote for the outlaw. We're going to vote for the greatest president this country has ever seen, and we're going to give him a second term, and it's going to be fantastic, believe me.
With that being said, that concludes our first 2024 presidential debate. Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, woo! Democracy on the ballot. I am your moderator, Fake Tapper.
Fake Strapper, right? I thought you were Fake Strapper.
Him too. Have a blessed evening,
wait,
America.
Wait, it feels like Don won. I want a rematch.
We will allow...
It's okay. The ballots haven't come in. The ballots haven't come in at 3 o'clock in the morning yet, so we don't know what the hell's happened.
Aaron
no,
Burnett
no questions
is up next.
For Dana Trash.
Oh, Dawn.
Abby Phillip, standing by with post-game analysis. Good night, America. All right, there you have it, folks. There is the debate. Our buddy Sean Farish as Donald J. Trump. And the lady playing Kamala Harris, I want to introduce her, and I'll allow her to do that. You knocked it out of the park.
Wow.
What a tremendous job. Please introduce yourself to this great audience here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Esther Paltilova. This has just been really fun, honestly. I'll introduce myself as nurse, mom, full-blown social media content creator, and apparently Kamala Harris impressionist for these, you know, for the short future, hopefully.
So I have to ask, because I know Sean's backstory and how Sean became a social media hit by doing Trump impressions and now obviously does a show on Rumble. He's here a ton on our station. What led you, because you said you're a nurse, a mother, what got you into the social media game and, more importantly, the imitation of Kamala Harris? How did you get to this point?
It was as easy as pretty much downloading TikTok during the pandemic. I was incredibly bored. It started out really just as just something to scroll through. But fast forward, I was doing a video just like this where I was speaking to someone and somebody in the comments had written, you kind of sound like Kamala Harris in very, very, you know, small moments when, you know, you don't realize it, but you kind of sound like her once in a while. So I just replying to that comment, I attempted an impression. You know, that video exploded. It wasn't that good of an impression back then. I will be honest with myself. It's definitely a lot better now. Now it's like to the T. Like I can close my eyes and I could hear it. I can sound exactly like her. But I signed with Rebel News for that year. They kind of got me my head start. They're a news organization in Canada. They're amazing. Australia and the USA too. And the CEO there, Ezra Levant, he loved the cackle so much. And he really gave me my head start. I started doing some clips for them, just my own stuff, you know, editing at home. They got some traction. I got a little bit better and I just stuck with it. I really played the long game. Some people were sick of it. Some people were like, oh, you're getting better. The laugh is getting more defined. But I really wanted to stick with it because I had a feeling that she's going to show her, you know, she's going to unfortunately show up more. And I wasn't wrong. And I can't believe that she's now the leading, presidential Democratic candidate. So here I am.
And with that being said, I just read yesterday in the USA Today that people are demanding that Maya Rudolph return to NBC's Saturday Night Live to do Kamala Harris. If that doesn't happen, let me ask you the question. If Lorne Michaels and NBC came to you and said, hey, we want you to do Kamala Harris this fall during an election season, would you take them up on the opportunity and the offer?
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I've always kind of, you know, I love comedy. I love everything about it. And I firmly believe that you should absolutely be allowed to make fun of both sides. I think that it's a great form of, you know, unity. I would absolutely go. We don't have to agree on our, you know, values and our views for us to be able to work together. I just personally don't think it's going to happen. If they did call me and say, hey, you know, we want to do this, but we want to show her in like a really beautiful light. And, you know, you have to try to kind of make her seem decent. And it's going to be scripted to the point where the impression isn't true to itself, I probably would have to pass. I'm being completely honest with you. There's other, you know, there's other venues, other platforms. But if they did decide to become funny again, you know, I'm available. And I think that they should do this because, like I said, it's a great way to unite the country. People need to stop with their bruised egos. That's really my opinion on it. Mm-hmm. I won't say no just because it's mostly liberals. But at the same time, you know, they're liberal. They're not going to call me.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to happen. By the way, yeah. We're doing the Saturday Night Live job for them. Right. We're doing the debate that they should be doing right now.
I feel like I've been carrying Saturday Night Live on all my platforms when it comes to Kamala.
Yeah. Exactly.
So let me ask you this, because I'm just going to assume, based on what you just said, I'm imagining you are a Republican, perhaps a conservative, a Trump supporter.
I'm a conservative, yeah.
So explain to us your political background over the years and how you've arrived at this point here where you are in 2024, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. I think my family's always been very conservative. I'm an immigrant. I came here legally when I was about 4 years old, and we just had very, very conservative values growing up. My parents, strictly my community, I'm Russian Jewish. We did not adhere to a lot of these like poisonous leftist, values. And I've seen it become so much more, you know, so much worse in the past, like 8 years, I want to say, where, you know, from the trans agenda to it coming into schools. Like, this is not stuff that I agree with. This is not stuff that I raised my children to, you know, be. We raise them to be kind, but I think we can all agree that things have become very, very extreme. And I mean, like, nothing like that. I do feel like there's extremism on both sides, but the left, the really far leaning left, at this point, like, I'm taking the comedy stuff seriously because I think it's important to expose this. I think it's important to expose it. And my way is through comedy. You know, I can't expose it any other way, but we need to bring these values back to America because we see it crumbling. This isn't the way it should be. So I would say that I'm somewhere in the middle. I have a full-time job, but I'm also full-time with my children. I work mm-hmm. remotely, and it also allows me to do this. So I really, it goes down to the values for me. It's not about politics. My values are conservative. I would like to see this country come back to its conservative roots.
All right. Let's go through a couple of the issues that we've been discussing this morning. I'm going to bring Sean Farish back in. Sean and both of you, I want to get both of your comments on a variety of the big headlines today. Sean, start with you, and then we'll give everybody else an opportunity as well. Biden addressing the nation last night, 11 minutes and 6 seconds. Sean, your takeaways from last night's appears to be a live presentation of the 46th president.
Yeah, first off, I just want to hat tip Esther. She just killed it. It was so fun, and yeah. We've never ever worked together before.
Flawless. Yeah, that was the first
time. I thought that was the first time. That was so much fun. I was over here dying, and I usually don't break, so I was over here laughing.
I know.
And it's funny what she said about SNL, right? Because I've said the same thing. They would never call me, right? Because they know where I lie. But what I would do, I think she's a better person than I am at this point, because I would say, oh yeah, sure, we'll go on there, we'll make Trump look like a clown, and then sabotage the whole set live on television. I'd never get a call back again, but it would be a lot of fun, because we would never let the fake news make money off of us. We'd never do that.
We never would.
Last night, 11 minutes, right? And we were expecting to hear maybe why this guy was supposed to, you know, why he was forced out. We got none of that. I think he looked horrible. I don't think he looked like he was next to death, but I think he looked horrible. And I think the biggest problem that I have is that the most transparent administration in history is once again lying about something. And they're lying about a lot in this case. I thought it was pathetic. I have no sympathy for Joe Biden. Some people say, oh, you know, he's a human being too. I agree. He's a human. 60 years selling out our country, the inflation crisis the last 3.5 years. I'm sorry. I hope this is the last we ever see of him in public office. I'm not wishing death on anybody. I would never do that. I'm not a leftist, but I don't have sympathy for the guy. I think if he had any dignity, he would resign. And I think if he does resign, Donald Trump pulls in more fundraising because the 47 merch goes out the window and 48 merch comes in. So I hope that happens because I think that helps Trump in the end.
Esther, let me get your thoughts. I believe you said you are of Russian and Jewish descent. You saw
Russia.
I'm assuming you saw what was happening yesterday as Mr. Netanyahu was in Washington, D.C. with these protests outside. Your takeaways and reaction to what you saw yesterday?
You know, it's crazy to actually say this out loud. I thought Joe would be the worst thing that can happen to the country. And I agree with Sean. As a nurse, this really touches on my morals and my ethics a little bit. But I don't feel bad for the guy at all. I only feel bad for him health-wise, because he's clearly being full-blown humiliated on a international stage. When it comes to Kamala Harris, I think she would be an absolute nightmare. She would be so much worse. I think that she is blatantly displaying her hatred of Israel. She doesn't really support them. I think that's all for optics, or it's bureaucracy that's higher than her, that she says she's, you know, behind Israel. But bad word, I'm a New Yorker, please forgive me. She sat there with her little war criminal sign, and I say to people, like, that was her name tag. She was just holding it up for people. Because at this point, you know what, you're in America, and you can't sit there and be treasonous and behave this way, and we're all sitting here pretending like this is a normal thing. American flags being burned down. I remember there was a time when I grew up here, and I grew up here. Like, I came here when I was 4, but I grew up in such a, you know, 90s America loving world. And I grew up in a time that every day felt like September 12th, 2001. Okay, there was a lot more unity. And these people with Netanyahu, you know, coming into the office, you don't have to like Israel politics. You don't have to like that stuff. But what's happening in the world and the hatred towards Jewish people and the harm that it's causing them and how I see it and how we're back in Nazi Germany, that is the most disheartening thing for me as a mother. You know, I have three children here. And like I said, I'm Jewish and I'm proudly Jewish. I'll probably lose like 3,000 followers just right after this airs just for saying that. I don't care. I will always stay true to myself. But this is the disgusting rhetoric that people like Harris, like Tlaib, that's the kind of rhetoric that they spread because the hatred goes onto Jewish people. It has nothing to do with, you know, Jewish policies. It has nothing to do with the war. That has nothing to do with the propaganda that we're seeing. I personally think that if you are pro-America, you are supposed to be pro with your allies. And if you are screaming Intifada, death to America, you don't understand what you're doing. And I think that the kids, the parents of these kids that are on the streets that are doing this, they've absolutely failed as parents. If you have a kid screaming death to America, you have failed as a parent. And I, if that was my kid, God forbid, Hasa Shalom, I would send my children to Gaza, one-way ticket. And I would say, you don't like it here? You're about to have a rude awakening over there. I think it's horrible what's going on. And we really need law and order back. These people need to be scared. They need to fear law again. I mean, law and order again. And until that doesn't happen, I think that we're going to have a huge false flag event with stuff like this. And I see the tensions are rising. And people like Harris are just ignoring it. And if anything, they're putting kerosene in the fire. They really are.
Final.
That's all I'll say about that, or I'll keep talking.
No, well said, Esther. I appreciate it. Final moments here. Christopher Wray, Sean Farish, your thoughts yesterday on what the leader and director of the FBI had to say in the latest revelations to what happened to Donald Trump on Saturday, July 13th.
Well, because Christopher Wray likes to be tight-lipped and give bait to the people who like to push conspiracy theories, now we have Newsweek, as of 38 minutes ago, saying Donald Trump might not have been shot after all, because he couldn't confirm or deny that Donald Trump was hit by a bullet versus shrapnel, which is obviously what the FBI exists to do. They exist to interfere in elections. I think it's interesting that Christopher Wray also admitted that the shooter was researching the JFK assassination 1 week before the event. I think it's interesting that Christopher Wray gave us the admission that the shooter was flying a drone over the territory, the area that Trump was hosting his rallies. I think Christopher Wray is a complete and total disgrace. And I think anybody pushing the conspiracy theory that Trump wasn't shot is a disgrace. Anybody who is saying he may not have been shot, it was shrapnel. But where'd the shrapnel come from? Can you explain that to me? Because I saw two intact teleprompters in front of the stage. So where did the glass come from? Did it just fall from the sky? These people on the left, these people in the deep state, the alpha bad agencies, these folks are truly the enemy of the people. They're covering this whole thing up, and I think you're looking at the FBI, the Secret Service, and how this entire thing happened. If it was incompetence, I see no other way that it was willful incompetence. This is an unlikely series of unfortunate events. Again, I'm a Republican. I'm also a New York Jets fan. I know what incompetence looks like, and this is not it. So I think that I think that what we're watching now is a massive cleanup operation, a massive cover-up operation. They're looking to cover for those who allowed this to happen, and now you're getting the media jumping in too, saying, well, he may not have been shot after all. Newsweek following in the footsteps of disgusting do not watch her without eclipse glasses Joy Reid, because you may get retinal damage and explosive diarrhea.
Doing
the exact same thing that she said, oh, well, maybe he wasn't shot. We haven't seen a medical report. How about Ronnie Jackson saying that he was shot, right? Ronnie Jackson, who has a medical degree. I forgot. He's not a real doctor, but Dr. Jill Biden is. These people are an absolute disgrace. This is an abject failure of our intel institutions in this country. And if Donald Trump is reelected, we need a top-down, bottom-up, top-to-bottom, anywhere you want to look at it, house cleaning of the deep state and the swamp, or as Vivek Ramaswamy likes to call it, the administrative state, because they are an absolute threat to our freedoms in our country.
Ramaswamy.
Yep. Sean Farish, thank you very much, buddy.
You
we will
awesome.
Chat again tomorrow at 8:30. And Esther, it was a pleasure to have you for the first time. You are welcome anytime you want.
They're already asking, the social media fans, everybody is asking for a second debate.
Woo!
So we'll have to do a second debate. Mr. President, Ms. Vice President, Madam Vice President, would you be okay if we called on you for a second debate with a fake strapper?
Well, and I would love nothing more. I absolutely would love nothing more.
No, you would love something more. You would love something more. It's called Montel Williams, okay? But I would love to do it. I would love to do it.
How, you guys got to work on the
nicknames. I'm not as quick as you, and I don't have a comeback yet, but I'll think of one. All right? I'll see you with that second
debate. Great
comeback,
stuff.
Kamala.
Yeah.
Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, guys. Thank there you, guys. You it was a pleasure. Amazing. Thank you for having me.
Yep, you got it. Woo! What a show.
Wow.
Dump button got a workout.
It did.
Too.
It did. It's good, though. It's good, though. Everybody's like, if you're watching on YouTube or listening on the Odyssey app, there's no delay because there doesn't need to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the delay is only for the radio.
There
because
you go.
The FCC
yep.
is a horrendous organization.
Well, there you go.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app. It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Big 3 at 9, number 1, bad gas in Bucks County.
I can smell it!
Oh, man, we're on Talk.
Oh, today, my goodness. We? So nobody's laughing if they fueled up at the Richboro, Pennsylvania Wawa there on 2nd Street Pike, 870 2nd Street Pike. That Wawa, well, reported to have had some bad gas, which when customers fueled up, their cars broke down, some of them, many of them, suffering with some $4,000 in damages. So the good news is that Wawa has come out and said for all of those customers, first of all, they have fixed the problem. They are fully investigating. They are fully apologizing, owning it, and saying at Wawa, they have a guaranteed good gas. A good gas guarantee, you might say.
Oh, there you go.
There are not many guarantees in life, but yeah. Wawa offers one of them.
I usually get good gas from a classic with jalapenos, but, you know.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Pizza after four.
There
so,
you go.
So they're saying go to the website. If you had any of those problems, fill it out. They're offering full reimbursement for anybody who has, you know, had the refueled at Wawa and then had all the engine problems that we're hearing about. Although I don't have a tangible number. We're hearing about dozens. So we'll try to get to that one. That's going on in our big three. Number two, we do have Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, lame duck Joe Biden, as he's talking about his agenda for the next 6 months of his presidency. But he will be meeting with Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu today. And then later, Vice President Kamala Harris and the DNC candidate, she says, because she has all the delegates, she says she will meet with Netanyahu later today as well.
Okay, so she gets the leftovers, the scrap heaps of BB. Third in line, Kamala. There you go.
And number three, cocaine sharks.
Yeah.
Yes, confirmation that 13 Brazilian sharp-nosed sharks taken near the shores of Rio de Janeiro, were all tested by marine biologists, and the word is that, yes, they confirmed that they had concentrations of cocaine in their system, in their muscles, their livers, and that they were more than 100 times higher than any similar test that have ever been conducted on aquatic creatures.
Were they ill-tempered cocaine sharks?
Well, that's the question. You know, why did they choose to test these particular Brazilian sharks?
Yeah.
So were they, is that to blame for some of these more aggressive attacks?
Mm, interesting.
If they're like a junkie.
Yeah.
And they're mad and they're going to attack.
Who would you take in a fight, a cocaine shark or a vodka shark?
Cocaine shark, definitely.
Yeah.
Vodka sharks, you're not going to be, cocaine,
you're going to be hyped up.
Amped up, absolutely.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Have the shakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They said that they can't explain it because they don't usually see, you know, bales of cocaine dumped or lost at sea, such as, you know, in Mexico or Florida, in Rio, but that's the possibility.
Yeah. We got to get these on Shark Week. Now it's Shark Month. On Nat Geo and those channels.
It?
Yeah.
Nice.
They just expanded it to all 4 weeks this year.
Jeez. Yeah. They're saying it could have come, yes, from the actual cocaine and drug deals gone bad where they dump the drugs because they figure they're going to get caught or whatever, but also drug labs, those illegal labs where they're manufacturing it.
Or we could just grab the drug dealers and then feed them to the cocaine sharks.
Now that. Yeah. Like that one.
Cost-effective elimination of scumbags.
other news in your Big Three.
All right, there you go, Dawn. Thank you very much. 9:31, we've got our winner. We've got Walt, who is on the line. Walt, good morning. What movie did we play for you?
That was Caddyshack.
That is correct.
That was tough.
You are spared a trip to Gaza. Instead, you get the Fandango 4-pack. How's that sound?
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
You got it, Walt. We appreciate you for playing. I don't see it. What is the name? Who do we have?
Oh, it's Marcella in Brooklyn.
Marcella in Brooklyn. You're next on Kale and Company. Marcella, you go right ahead.
Oh, good morning, Kale and Company. Woo-hoo. Good to see you. And great debate between Harris and Trump. You guys are out of this world and out of this park.
There we go. Brooklyn.
I guarantee you. Oh. This is going to be big, big poll for you this morning, 9:32 on the nose. According to The Hill, former President Trump is narrowly leading Vice President Harris, the likely Democratic presidential nominee in several battleground states, while the two are tied in Wisconsin, according to a new set of polls. That's because of The Hill's take place this morning. So the survey released by Emerson College Polling found Trump leading Harris by 5 in Arizona, 49-44% in Georgia, 2 points at 48-46.
Hey, is he trying to take my job?
Yeah, are you auditioning to be news anchor?
What's
here,
going
sir?
On here?
Oh, Dawn, I made a mistake. You're an amazing news woman, and I'm a truly news kid. Yours in Pennsylvania, 2 points, 48-46.
He's very
tied
excited.
With her. In Wisconsin at 47% each.
All right, so Marcella, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to advocate for you. I think what we have done, since we are now live and local from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., if Stalker ever has ambitions to be local and live 24/7, I see a show with Sean Farish, Esther, and Marcella from Brooklyn.
Amen. Amen.
Woo!
Are you serious?
I love you, man.
Not a joke.
You can take that to the bank.
Are you serious?
You can take that to the bank.
He's thrilled.
There you go.
I'm serious. Think about it.
There you go.
There you go, Marcella.
Awesome.
And I like it. I like the I like the energy, the passion.
There you
high
go.
Energy.
Bringing the facts to the radio.
There
show.
You go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Citing a Hill poll. Well, I guess there goes the segment I had lined up for tomorrow. Thanks, Marcella. All right. Without further ado, let's get to What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the cut sheet?
I do. I'm here. Hang on. Where are you?
Hello.
I'm right here.
What a show today.
I know.
How do we top this on a Friday?
My head hurts. So Randy Weingarten.
Yay!
It does. Dawn, hold on to your blazer. She spoke at the AFT convention.
Jeez.
And she went full-throated existential threat to democracy.
American Federation of Teachers, for those who don't know AFT.
We're going to go here. I've been sitting on this for days. This happened a couple days ago, but I have to like
clear out the hopper.
Yeah, no, I just have to. Like, there's just a lot of screeching, and sometimes I just need to take a step back from screeching just for a little bit.
Okay.
Here's a Queen Screecher, Randy Weingarten. Cut 12. Phil, go.
The November elections
will
determine which path we take as a nation.
Look at that haircut.
Progress is indeed possible, but so is the eradication of the rights and freedoms we hold dear.
Uh-oh.
Historians like Timothy Snyder and Heather Cox Richardson, who study threats to democracy and how fascists come to
Bauer,
conclude that it is seldom
Trevor Bauer?
A dramatic event or attack that lets fascism in the door. The violence comes later. After they are voted in. Voting is still our best defense against tyranny and fascism, and it's our best offense to create the better future we dream of and march for. Progress is possible, but not guaranteed.
You know, I can't sit here with a straight face and say I know the history of the American Federation of Teachers and people that filled the role that Randy Weingarten currently presides over. But has it always been that political? I mean, we have the top leader of, I think she is, that teachers union is either the most powerful or the second most powerful or second largest teachers union in the country. And she's talking about threats to democracy as children are a year and a half to 2 years behind in certain metrics, in certain categories of school, reading, math, science. That's what she's focused on. I mean, we've exposed her for the fraud she is with her emails over the last 3 years. But that's the kind of speech that she delivers. Does she have White House aspirations as well? What an unpleasant hack.
Well, the unpleasantry continued. Cut 13, Phil, go.
Record that we the people united, mobilized, and voted down this existential threat to democracy and freedom, that we continued the march for progress, that we laid the foundation for a better future, and that we sought to create a more perfect union. Progress is possible. Keep marching.
Is she on a pogo stick? Why is she bouncing like that? She looks like AOC at that rally a few months ago when she was in her primary.
Yeah.
My goodness. Dawn, what would you call that haircut, by the way?
Oh, boy.
What is that? I don't want to be labeled sexist. Is that just a bad hairdo? I mean, is that a supercuts haircut? What is that?
Well, the truth is, full disclosure, that was Nick Cale's hair before he shaved. That's why Nick actually went and shaved it.
I mean, I think I can pull that look off better than Randy there. There's no ears. She's got the ears covered up by her own hair.
It's weird.
It's earmuffs. It's like helmet head.
Everybody's like, oh my God, earplug. Sorry about that, guys. Sorry.
Very weird. No, I just wanted
to trigger Dawn, actually. That was my whole point of that.
She should absolutely, we should replace the word, you know, she says it's a threat to democracy, and replace that with threat to her money laundering operation, all the money that goes to them. Never goes directly to the teachers.
He roared! Randy roared in her blazer.
So this is for you, Nikhil.
Uh-oh.
Trump and Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
They were playing golf together.
I would have loved to have been invited, to be completely honest.
Here's a little video of this. This is Cut 11, Phil. Go.
Oh, beautiful. Come
on. Look at that shot, man. That's a good shot.
Yep.
Oh, what a shot. Partner. Great shot.
I mean,
that's how you do it right there.
Best golfers in the world is telling
Biden
him
that. Can do that. Uh-huh. I don't know. We had an argument about golf. Can you believe it?
I saw him on CNN.
I don't even know if Bryson can do that.
I don't think I can do that.
Wow.
Yeah, Trump from 111 yards to 8 feet. Some people question whether he's a single-digit handicap. Based on that video they played, by the way, I watched some of the highlights of that. They finished 22 under par together through 18 holes. Trump sank a couple of big putts, a couple of great shots. I think he's every bit the single-digit handicap. He might not be playing from the whites or the blue tees, but no, he's definitely a good golfer.
Wow.
I know. DeChambeau does not hold back his admiration for Trump, by the way.
You know what's interesting? Golf is the one sport that I believe that he can freely say, like, players seem to freely say who they support.
They do.
Yeah, true.
That in UFC, too.
They do. Golf and UFC, you're right.
You'll never hear it from a basketball player, from a baseball player, from a football player. But golf seems to, you know, they seem to just don't give, you know, two
months. And funny you bring that up. You're not seeing a lot of people typically that have spoken out in favor of Biden or Harris in the world of sports this time around voicing and advocating for the Democrat this year. You notice that?
I think as we get closer, we're going to.
Okay.
I do.
But I haven't seen it yet.
It's July. People are just kind of still processing Kamala being the nominee.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not the nominee yet, but she will be.
Okay.
And once we get closer to Election Day, I think we'll start seeing more people.
All right. Something to keep an eye on for sure.
Will Taylor Swift endorse, do you think?
You know, it's funny you say that. Are Tay-Tay and Travi having relationship issues? Did I see that headline a couple of days ago?
I don't know. Then you see that he popped the question and there's a ring. I don't know what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, remember Kai? Trump, the 17-year-old.
Great golfer.
Impressive. Yeah, granddaughter. So she did play at one point within the last, I don't know, 5-6 months. She played at least once with her grandfather, mm-hmm. Trump, and Bryson DeChambeau.
We need to schedule a Kai and Kale shotgun golf outing.
Me she will Trump embarrass go. You.
I'm not saying I want to beat her. I just want to pick up a few pointers from her.
I mean, did you hear the Dom show the other day? They were all over you for your golf game.
They should be. It's crumbled quickly.
Okay. What I would suggest is bring your daughters, kind of give you some cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could be like, oh, they role models are my daughters.
They should be.
Mia, 9-iron. Hurry up.
Christopher Wray testified yesterday, just a couple clips that we didn't play earlier, on the shooter flying the drone around the rally site hours before the shooting, and nobody doing anything about it. This is cut 3. Phil, go.
Tell me about the drone. You act like you wanted to fill us in on that. Fill us in.
So we have recovered a drone that the shooter appears to have used. It's being exploited and analyzed by the FBI lab. The drone was recovered in his vehicle. So at the time of the shooting, the drone was in his vehicle with the controller. In addition, our investigation has uncovered...
Do you know what time of day he flew it and if he flew it on the day of the shot?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. So in addition, it appears that around... 3:50 p.m., 4 o'clock in that window, on the day of the shooting, that the shooter was flying the drone around the area.
2 hours.
About 11 minutes. I want to be clear, but when I say the area, not over the stage and that part of the area itself, but I would say about 200 yards, give or take, away.
Okay.
From that, we think, but we do not know. So again, this is one of these things that's qualified because of our ongoing review, that he was live streaming, you know, viewing the footage from that, again, about 11 minutes in around the 3:50, 4 o'clock p.m. range.
2 hours before he's flying a drone in the vicinity of the route.
About 200 yards away, yes.
200 yards, okay.
Mm-hmm. So 70 yards further back from where he actually was from his official shooting vantage point of 130 yards. And I got one of the questions I had is answered right there in that clip. I'm wondering, is he getting that data in real time as he's flying it and able to visualize and see what the drone is collecting information wise from a visual? Was that downloaded to his laptop or a smartphone? And then what did he use that information for? Christopher Wray actually giving a little bit of some credibility to some of the reconnaissance work that a 20-year-old was able to do. And nobody... Did anybody ask what that is? Did any agent look up and say, what's going on here? I mean, if I saw that, I would have wanted to shoot the stinking thing down.
Yeah.
Isn't it really just... I'm still just befuddled by the fact that a 20-year-old was able to do all of this against what we presume to be the most advanced, powerful country in the world.
Cut 4 here, Phil, on why Trump was not kept off the stage. They know this threat. The Secret Service allegedly knew this threat was happening, or there's the possibility of a nut job. Why wasn't he kept off the stage? This is Representative Dan Bishop from North Carolina asking him about this. Cut 4, Phil, go.
Wasn't Trump not kept off the stage?
We don't know the answer to that, but I want to be clear, and this is important, because mm-hmm. I think it goes to questions that I can and cannot answer. Our investigation, the FBI's mandate, is focused on the shooter and all things related to his attack. Now, obviously, I understand very much the intense interest and focus on the Secret Service's performance, actions, decision-making, etc.
Mm-hmm.
There are two separate after-action reviews, the DHS Inspector General and the outside independent panel that's been convened that are focused on that. Now, our investigation
everybody
understands will obviously overlap
right.
with that.
Here's the problem. We're out 13 days, and you say we've been disclosing. You know, we had the director, the colonel from the Pennsylvania State Police in front of Homeland yesterday. He was quite candid. He disclosed to us that Butler Emergency Services Unit personnel were posted into the windows on the second floor of the AGR building, that they left there to go pursue the person that they spotted, Crooks, that they texted a photo of Crooks to the PSP representative in the command center. That information was relayed to the United States Secret Service. They asked that it be texted to someone else. That was many minutes before President Trump took the stand. What we don't know is why were they not keeping him off the stand? And to the extent, you know, I know we always hear when there's a criminal investigation, you got to wait for that to develop. But do you have any other target of your criminal investigation other than Crooks, who's dead?
We are investigating the shooter both to determine his motive and his preparations and activities before the shooting, but also to make sure whether or not there are any co-conspirators, accomplices.
At this point, have you developed any evidence to so suggest that there are any accomplices or cooperators or assisters?
Not at this time, but again, the investigation's ongoing.
So here,
and we have to wait 60 days, as AOC would say. That is completely unacceptable. And you wonder why people want to defund and dismantle the FBI. And as Sean Farish would say, all these alphabet agencies, they offer a whole bunch of nothing. It's remarkable how much more transparent the local authorities are compared to these federal bureaucrats.
That's so true.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I got.
That's all I got, too. All right, that'll do it. We'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show, what occurred today in music history, and who won Twitter today. Kale and Company putting a bow on a Thursday show next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Dawn Show coming up in 8 minutes. What does she have lined up? Let's find out.
Yeah, you'll hear from former President Trump reacting to Biden last night, who addressed the nation. But what does Trump think? Does Trump think that the 25th Amendment should be invoked? We'll get into the latest from Trump this morning. And then moving forward, we'll take you through locally that investigation. By that, I mean Pennsylvania. What is the latest from Butler, Pennsylvania, the assassination attempt? What are they omitting? What are they not saying about Vice President Kamala Harris? So we'll go through all of that and all the rest of the developing this hour as we await to hear those meetings between Biden, Netanyahu, Kamala Harris, Netanyahu. So much teed up as we continue through the day.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. And now we find out what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale and Company.
July 25th. We celebrate the birthdays of Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth, who's now 66, and a heavenly birthday shout out to Manny Charlton from Nazareth. Singles include Cutting Crew releasing I Just Died in Your Arms in the UK on this day in 1986. Albums include Yes's debut in 69, Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys in 89, Lightning Strikes by Loudness in 86, AC/DC releasing Back in Black in 1980, and Kill 'Em All, Metallica's debut, released on this day in 1983.
Woo!
Also in 80, Eric Carr made his debut as Kiss's drummer. In 2010, John Fogerty played center field at the Baseball Hall of Fame ceremony. In 69, Neil Young played with Crosby, Stills, and Nash for the very first time. In 64, A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles was atop the UK chart. But lastly, on this day in 99, the Woodstock Festival ended in riots, resulting in 120 people being arrested. We all remember that. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
But it was mostly peaceful. All right, that'll do it for us. Dawn is up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. And as John Fetterman would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Pizza after 4.
There you go.
So they're saying go to the website. If you had any of those problems, fill it out. They're offering full reimbursement for anybody who has, you know, had refueled at Wawa and then had all the engine problems that we're hearing about. Although I don't have a tangible number. We're hearing about dozens. So we'll try to get to that one. That's going on in our big three. Number two, we do have Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, lame duck Joe Biden, as he's talking about his agenda for the next 6 months of his presidency. But he will be meeting with Israeli Prime Minister, I should say, Benjamin Netanyahu today. And then later, Vice President Kamala Harris and the DNC candidate, she says, because she has all the delegates. She says she will meet with Netanyahu later today as well.
Okay, so she gets the leftovers, the scrap heaps of BB. Third in line, Kamala. There you go.
And number three, cocaine sharks.
Yeah.
Yes, confirmation that 13 Brazilian sharp-nosed sharks taken near the shores of Rio de Janeiro, were all tested by marine biologists, and the word is that, yes, they confirmed that they had concentrations of cocaine in their system, in their muscles, their livers, and that they were more than 100 times higher than any similar tests that have ever been conducted on aquatic creatures.
Were they ill-tempered cocaine sharks?
Well, that's the question. You know, why did they choose to test these particular Brazilian sharks?
Yeah.
So were they, is that to blame for some of these more aggressive attacks?
Mm, interesting.
If they're like a junkie.
Yeah.
And they're mad and they're going to attack.
Who would you take in a fight, a cocaine shark or a vodka shark?
Cocaine shark, definitely.
Yeah.
Vodka sharks, you're not going to be, cocaine, you're all
going to be hyped up.
Amped up, absolutely.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Have the shakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They said that they can't explain it because they don't usually see, you know, bales of cocaine dumped or lost at sea, such as, you know, in Mexico or Florida, in Rio, but that's the possibility.
Yeah. We got to get these on Shark Week. Now it's Shark Month. On Nat Geo and those channels.
It?
Yeah.
Nice.
They just expanded it to all 4 weeks this year.
Jeez. Yeah. They're saying it could have come, yes, from the actual cocaine and drug deals gone bad where they dump the drugs because they figure they're going to get caught or whatever, but also drug labs, those illegal labs where they're manufacturing it.
Or we could just grab the drug dealers and then feed them to the cocaine sharks.
Now that. Yeah. Like that one.
Cost-effective elimination of scumbags.
Other news in your big three.
All right, there you go, Dawn. Thank you very much. 9:31, we've got our winner. We've got Walt, who is on the line. Walt, good morning. What movie did we play for you?
That was Caddyshack.
That is correct.
That was tough.
You are spared a trip to Gaza. Instead, you get the Fandango 4-pack. How's that sound?
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
You got it, Walt. We appreciate you for playing. I don't see it. What is the name? Who do we have?
Oh, it's Marcella in Brooklyn.
Marcella in Brooklyn. You're next on Kale and Company. Marcella, you go right ahead.
Oh, good morning, Kale and Company. Woo-hoo. Good to see you. And great debate between Harris and Trump. You guys are out of this world and out of this park.
There we go.
Brooklyn. I guarantee you. Oh. This is going to be big, big poll for you this morning, 9:32 on the nose. According to The Hill, former President Trump is narrowly leading Vice President Harris, the likely Democratic presidential nominee in several battleground states, while the two are tied in Wisconsin, according to a new set of polls. That's because of The Hill's take place this morning. So the survey released by Emerson College Polling found Trump leading Harris by 5 in Arizona, 49-44% in Georgia, 2 points at 48-46.
Hey, is he trying to take my job?
Yeah, are you auditioning to be news anchor?
What's
here,
going
sir?
On here?
Oh, Don, I made a mistake. You're an amazing news woman, and I'm a truly news kid. Yours in Pennsylvania, 2 points, 48-46.
He's very
tied
excited.
With her. In Wisconsin at 47% each.
All right, so Marcella, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to advocate for you. I think what we have done, since we are now live and local from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., if Stalker ever has ambitions to be local and live 24/7, I see a show with Sean Farish, Esther, and Marcella from Brooklyn.
Amen. Amen.
Woo!
Are you serious?
I love you, man.
Not a joke.
You can take that to the bank.
Are you serious?
You can take that to the bank.
He's thrilled.
There you go.
I'm serious. Think about it.
There you go.
Marcella.
Awesome.
And I like it. I like the I like the energy, the passion.
There you go.
Energy. Bringing the facts to the radio.
There
show.
You go.
Yes.
Yeah. Citing a Hill poll. Well, I guess there goes the segment I had lined up for tomorrow. Thanks, Marcella. All right. Without further ado, let's get to What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
Part 2.
I'm here. I'm here. Hang on. Where are you?
Hello.
I'm right here.
What a show today.
I know.
How do we top this on a Friday?
My head hurts. It's a Randy Weingarten.
Yay!
It does. Dawn, hold on to your blazer. She spoke at the AFT convention.
Jeez.
And she went full-throated existential threat to democracy.
American Federation of Teachers, for those who don't know AFT.
We're going to go here. I've been sitting on this for days. This happened a couple days ago. But I have to, like...
Clear out the hopper?
Yeah, no, I just have to... Like, there's just a lot of screeching. And sometimes I just need to take a step back from screeching just for a little bit.
Okay.
Here's a Queen's Screecher, Randy Weingarten. Cut 12, Phil, go.
The November elections
will
determine which path we take as a nation.
Look at that haircut.
Progress is indeed possible, but so is the eradication of the rights and freedoms we hold dear.
Uh-oh.
Historians like Timothy Snyder and Heather Cox Richardson, who study threats to democracy and how fascists come to
Bauer,
conclude that it is seldom
Trevor Bauer?
A dramatic event or attack that lets fascism in the door. The violence comes later, after they are voted in. Voting is still our best defense against tyranny and fascism. And it's our best offense to create the better future we dream of and march for. Progress is possible, but not guaranteed.
You know, I can't sit here with a straight face and say I know the history of the American Federation of Teachers and people that filled the role that Randy Weingarten currently presides over, but has it always been that political? I mean, we have the top leader of, I think she is, that teachers union is either the most powerful or the second most powerful or second largest teachers union in the country. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about threats to democracy as children are a year and a half to 2 years behind in certain metrics, in certain categories of school, reading, math, science. That's what she's focused on. I mean, we've exposed her for the fraud she is with her emails over the last 3 years. But that's the kind of speech that she delivers? Does she have White House aspirations as well? What an unpleasant hack.
Well, the unpleasantry continued. Cut 13, Phil, go.
Record that we the people united, mobilized, and voted down this existential threat to democracy and freedom, that we continued the march for progress, that we laid the foundation for a better future, and that we sought to create a more perfect union. Progress is possible. Keep marching.
Is she on a pogo stick? Why is she bouncing like that? She looks like AOC at that rally a few months ago when she was in her primary.
Yeah.
My goodness. Dawn, what would you call that haircut, by the way?
Boy.
What
oh,
is
boy.
That? I don't want to be labeled sexist. Is that just a bad hairdo? I mean, is that a supercuts haircut? What is that?
Well, the truth is, full disclosure, that was Nick Cale's hair before he shaved. That's why Nick actually went and shaved it.
I mean, I think I can pull that look off better than Randy there. There's no ears. She's got the ears covered up by her own hair.
It's weird.
It's earmuffs. It's like helmet head.
Everybody's like, oh my God, earplug. Sorry about that, guys. Sorry.
Very weird. No, I
just wanted to trigger Dawn, actually. That was my whole point of that.
She should absolutely, we should replace the word, you know, she says it's a threat to democracy, and replace that with threat to her money laundering operation, all the money that goes to them. Never goes directly to the teachers.
He roared! Randy roared! In her blazer.
Mm-hmm. So, this is for you, Nikhil.
Uh-oh.
Trump and Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
They were playing golf together.
I would have loved to have been invited, to be completely honest.
Here's a little video of this. This is cut 11, Phil. Go.
Oh, beautiful.
Come on. Look at that shot, man. That's a good shot.
Yep.
Oh, what a shot. Partner. Great shot.
I mean, one of
that's how you do it right there.
Best golfers in the world
is
telling
Biden
that.
Can do uh-huh. that. I don't know. We had an argument about golf. Can you believe it?
I saw him on partner. CNN.
I don't even know if Bryson can do that.
I don't think I can do that.
Wow.
Yeah, Trump from 111 yards to 8 feet. Some people question whether he's a single-digit handicap. Based on that video they played, by the way, I watched some of the highlights of that. They finished 22 under par together through 18 holes. Trump sank a couple of big putts, a couple of great shots. I think he's every bit the single-digit handicap. He might not be playing from the whites or the blue tees, but no, he's definitely a good golfer.
Wow.
I know. DeChambeau does not hold back his admiration for Trump, by
you
the
know,
way.
You know what's interesting? Golf is the one sport that I believe that he can freely say, like, players seem to freely say who they support.
They do.
Yeah,
that in UFC, too.
They do. Golf and UFC, you're right.
You'll never hear it from a basketball player, from a baseball player, from a football player. But golf seems to, you know, they seem to just don't give, you know, two
months. And funny you bring that up. You're not seeing a lot of people typically that have spoken out in favor of Biden or Harris in the world of sports this time around voicing and advocating for the Democrat this year. You notice that?
I think as we get closer, we're going to.
Okay.
I do.
But I haven't seen it yet.
It's July. People are just kind of still processing Kamala being the nominee.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not the nominee yet, but she will be.
Okay.
And once we get closer to Election Day, I think we'll start seeing more people.
All right. Something to keep an eye on for sure.
Will Taylor Swift endorse, do you think?
You know, it's funny you say that. Are Tay-Tay and Travi having relationship issues? Did I see that headline a couple of days ago?
I don't know. Then you see that he popped the question and there's a ring. I don't know what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
Remember
Kai Trump, the 17-year-old,
great golfer,
impressive, granddaughter. So she did play at one point within the last, I don't know, 5-6 months. She played at least once with her grandfather, Trump, and Bryson DeChambeau.
We need to schedule a Kai and Kale shotgun golf outing.
She will Trump embarrass you.
I'm not saying I want to beat her. I just want to pick up a few pointers from her.
I mean, did you hear the Dom show the other day? They were all over you for your golf game.
They should be. It's crumbled quickly.
Okay. What I would suggest is bring your daughters, kind of give you some cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could be like, oh, role model to my daughters.
They should be.
Mia, 9-iron. Hurry up.
Christopher Wray testified yesterday. Just a couple clips that we didn't play earlier. On the shooter flying the drone around the rally site hours before the shooting, and nobody doing anything about it. This is cut three. Phil, go.
Tell me about the drone. You act like you wanted to fill us in on that. Fill us in.
So we have recovered a drone that the shooter appears to have used. It's being exploited and analyzed by the FBI lab. The drone was recovered in his vehicle. So at the time of the shooting, the drone was in his vehicle with the controller. In addition, our investigation has uncovered.
Do you know what time of day he flew it and if he flew it on the day of the shot?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So in addition, it appears that around 3:50 p.m., 4 o'clock in that window, on the day of the shooting, that the shooter was flying the drone around the area.
2 hours.
About 11 minutes. I want to be clear, but when I say the area, not over the stage and that part of the area itself, but I would say about 200 yards, give or take, away.
Okay.
From that, we think, but we do not know, so again, this is one of these things that's qualified because of our ongoing review, that he was live-streaming, you know, viewing the footage from that, again, about 11 minutes in around the 3:50, 4 o'clock p.m. range.
2 hours before, he's flying a drone in the vicinity of the route.
About 200 yards away, yes.
200 yards, okay.
Mm-hmm. So 70 yards further back from where he actually was from his official shooting vantage point of 130 yards. And I got one of the questions I had is answered right there in that clip. I'm wondering, is he getting that data in real time as he's flying it and able to visualize and see what the drone is collecting information wise from a visual? Was that downloaded to his laptop or smartphone? And then what did he use that information for? Christopher Wray actually giving a little bit of actual some credibility to some of the reconnaissance work that a 20-year-old was able to do. And nobody, and did anybody ask what that is? Did like any agent look up and say, "What's going on here?" I mean, if I saw that, I would have wanted to shoot the stinking thing down.
Yeah.
Isn't it really just I'm still just befuddled by the fact that a 20-year-old was able to do all of this against what we presume to be the most advanced, powerful country in the world.
Cut four here, Phil, on why Trump was not kept off the stage. They know this threat. The Secret Service allegedly knew this threat was happening, or there's the possibility of a nut job. Why wasn't he kept off the stage? This is Representative Dan Bishop from North Carolina asking him about this. Cut four, Phil, go.
Wasn't Trump not kept off the stage?
We don't know the answer to that, but I want to be clear, and this is important, because I think it goes to questions that I can and cannot answer. Our investigation, the FBI's mandate, is focused on the shooter and all things related to his attack. Now, obviously, I understand very much the intense interest and focus on the Secret Service's performance, actions, decision-making, etc. There are two separate after-action reviews, the DHS Inspector General and the outside independent panel that's been convened that are focused on that. Now, our investigation
Everybody understands that. Here's the problem. We're out 13 days, and you say we've been disclosing. You know, we had the colonel from the Pennsylvania State Police in front of Homeland yesterday. He was quite candid. He disclosed to us that Butler Emergency Services Unit personnel were posted into the windows on the second floor of the AGR building, that they left there to go pursue the person that they spotted, Crooks, that they texted a photo of Crooks to the PSP representative in the command center. That information was relayed to the United States Secret Service. They asked that it be texted to someone else. That was many minutes before Trump took the stand. What we don't know is why were they not keeping him off the stand? And to the extent, you know, I know we always hear when there's a criminal investigation, you've got to wait for that to develop. But do you have any reason to, do you have any other target of your criminal investigation other than Crooks, who's dead?
We are investigating the shooter both to determine his motive and his preparations and activities before the shooting, but also to make sure whether or not there are any co-conspirators, accomplices.
At this point, have you developed any evidence to so suggest that there are any accomplices or cooperators or assisters?
Not at this time, but again, the investigation's ongoing.
So here,
and we have to wait 60 days, as AOC would say, that is completely unacceptable. And you wonder why people want to defund and dismantle the FBI. And as Sean Farish would say, all these alphabet agencies, they offer a whole bunch of nothing. It's remarkable how much more transparent the local authorities are compared to these federal bureaucrats.
It's so true.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I got.
That's all I got, too. All right. That'll do it. We'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show, what occurred today in music history, and who won Twitter today. Kale and Company putting a bow on a Thursday show next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Dawn Show coming up in 8 minutes. What does she have lined up? Let's find out.
Yeah, you'll hear from former President Trump reacting to Biden last night, who addressed the nation. But what does Trump think? Does Trump think that the 25th Amendment should be invoked? We'll get into the latest from Trump this morning. And then moving forward, we'll take you through locally that investigation. By that, I mean Pennsylvania. What is the latest from Butler, Pennsylvania, the assassination attempt? What are they omitting? What are they not saying about Vice President Kamala Harris? So we'll go through all of that and all the rest of the so much developing this hour as we await to hear those meetings between Biden, Netanyahu, Kamala Harris, Netanyahu. So much teed up as we continue through the day.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. And now we find out what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history, on Kale and Company.
Today, July 25th, we celebrate the birthdays of Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth, who's now 66, and a heavenly birthday shout-out to Manny Charlton from Nazareth. Singles include Cutting Crew releasing I Just Died in Your Arms in the UK on this day in 1986. albums include Yes's debut in 69, Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys in 89, Lightning Strikes by Loudness in 86, AC/DC releasing Back in Black in 1980, and Kill 'Em All, Metallica's debut, released on this day in 1983.
Woo!
Also in 80, Eric Carr made his debut as Kiss's drummer. In 2010, John Fogerty played center field at the Baseball Hall of Fame ceremony. In 69, Neil Young played with Crosby, Stills, and Nash for the very first time. In 64, A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles was atop the UK chart. But lastly, on this day in 99, the Woodstock Festival ended in riots, resulting in 120 people being arrested. We all remember that. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
But it was mostly peaceful. All right, that'll do it for us. Dawn is up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. And as John Fetterman would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.